I'm Marco Werman.
And I'm Jasmine Garz with the Across Women's Lives Project.
And Jazz, it's great to have you on the world today at the top of the show.
Yeah, Marco, I want to talk about the latest chapter in the ongoing global Me Too story.
Right. And this chapter is actually a letter and written in France, right?
An open letter published a few days ago in the French newspaper Le Monde, and it's signed by 100 French women. They're performers, they're academics, and the letter says the Me Too movement has gone too far.
Yeah, people probably saw that among the signatories is French actress Catherine Deneuve.
Right. And another signatory is French journalist Anne-Elisabeth Moutet, who joins us now from Paris, and thank you for being here.
Bonjour, merci.
And I want to just start off by asking you, why did you sign this letter? What makes you think Me Too has gone too far?
Well, first of all, I mean, the letter has been quoted, but not in its entirety. And the letter starts by saying rape is a crime, sexual harassment is a crime, especially in the workplace. We open debate. But at the same time, there was a feeling that what started as something that was the very good, you know, opening up of people expressing what they had been constrained to do and what situations they'd been put on has become a kind of social media duck pile, if you will, in which anybody can hashtag and then name somebody, shame them. And basically you call people guilty and they are guilty until proven guilty or possibly innocent, but innocent becomes an afterthought. But we also thought that there was a great lack of sophistication in the way that every aspect of men-women relations was put on this power level. And again, when it's really a play of domination and power, we are against it. But it felt to us that through the system of social media, we had sort of an American streak of Puritanism sort of invading. America's a wonderful country. My two brothers are Americans. You are pretty binary. You're very often black or white, or, you know, zeros or ones, and you built wonderful computers and telephones. But we like to think in France that the relationships between men and women are a bit more complicated.
Anne-Elisabeth, I have a question. How many millennials signed this letter in France? Do you know that? And is it a generational thing that younger women in France embrace this, shall we call it, this Puritanism? And how much of it is a French thing?
A great deal of this is a French thing. Now, you can argue that, yes, it was started. Well, actually, no, some of them are millennials, but it was started with women who remembered the sexual revolution and thought that was a great deal of progress. We wouldn't like to go sort of backtrack through that.
So, Anne-Elisabeth, just hang on with us just a moment, if you would. I want to introduce our second guest, Rimsara Alouane, a writer and researcher based in Toulouse in France. What is your take, Rimsara, on this letter signed by Anne-Elisabeth and 100 other women claiming this new Puritanism has settled in France? Do they have a point?
I had to read it twice to be sure that I get the point, and I don't get the point. This is actually part of the problem, normalizing this kind of behavior, which is sexual harassment. I'm sorry, there is no such thing as the right of a man to hit on a woman. I'm sorry, if a man steal a kiss from me, it's assault without my approval. Stealing a kiss, it's contradictory. You, by essence, take away something from someone without his or her consent. We are having such a hard time to listen to women, to believe them. It's a lot of work, and this is not helping. You know, the American Me Too movement triggered something. Woman feels empowered now to be listened. And yes, social media are helping that. And of course, you know, everybody has a right, of course, a constitutional right to due process. But women has also a right to call out what they're experiencing. And if you cannot make the difference between seduction, flirtation, and harassment, then you have a problem, not the women who are calling this out.
Rimsara, you know, on this topic of the difference between harassment and seduction, this is a conversation that I keep hearing off the record over and over again. You know, this idea that most people will spend, you know, half or more of their life in the office and on their careers. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people meet each other through work. A lot of marriages, a lot of boyfriends, girlfriends, lovers meet through work. So what is that distinction between harassment and seduction?
Consent. It has to come from both parties. Consent. if a woman received a text message with a lot of dirt inside, it's creepy. It's not flirtation. It comes from both parties. Both parties agree on that. Consent is the key.
But I would like to ask him, Saha, what's this question of line? Who draws lines? Who says there is a line? If somebody comes and tries to sort of pull, as the English slang goes, they're trying to do something, they're trying to get me interested in them, and they are a bit crass about it, I will just tell them to go away. It's entirely different from thing in which a consent passes. But men are allowed to come and say, "Look, I find you very pretty, and I'd like to have something with you." That's fine. I have no problems with it, and I have problems when it becomes one violent, obviously, when it becomes worrisome, when there's an element of intrusion that goes on. But it seems that nobody can ask anything from anyone anymore again. The other thing is that even when you dislike this, and you can be very vocal in expressing it, it is unpleasant, it is not fair, it is not illegal.
The Me Too movement was not about prohibiting men to start flirting with women, telling them they are pretty. That's not the point. The problem is really when there is pressure. And I can give you tons of examples. You want an example of flirtation? I can give you an example of what happened to me a month ago.
Yeah, sure. Tell us.
So I was, full disclosure, I was wearing my Texas Longhorn hoodie, right? Not very glamorous. I was heading to the metro to go to university. And a car stopped right in front of me, a very fancy car. And he started to say, "You are really pretty and hot, and I can drive you to the metro because I would love to be with a very pretty curly-haired girl." That was creepy. That was not seduction. I ran, right?
Were you really scared? Because that's, I would draw the line, yes. Does it become scary? And it doesn't. Did he force you to do anything?
He did not force me, but that was clearly harassment. I did not feel safe. And why a man would stop like this and call a woman like that?
And
I'm sorry.
It sounds to me like forcing the situation is kind of a low bar to decide whether.
Exactly. Harassment doesn't necessarily start with physical assault. It also starts with words. And by the way, it's also in the law. You were talking about, France and how we deal with relationship. It's so interesting because we are a country who keep trying to free women from other cultures, tradition, or whatever, saying what is right for a woman or what is wrong, how she should be dressed or not. And so when it's someone foreign's culture, it's oppression. But when it happened to us, it's French romance and French way of seduction. Again, we have a cultural problem when it comes to this issue. I truly believe. And I don't think it's just friends, to be honest. But if we start normalizing this kind of behavior, I'm sorry, this is dangerous. And women will keep being blamed for something they are not responsible of.
Rimsara, if I may turn this question to you, a lot of the critique of the Me Too movement has been that it promotes, quote unquote, a victimhood feminism. What do you make of that?
I find it very interesting that the women who dare to speak finally, even after many years, especially when you are a victim of sexual assault, well, sometimes it takes you years to be able to talk about it because you are still under the child, because you still hurt by this and nobody would believe you. But the day a woman dare to open a discussion, to say enough is enough, we call her names by, "Oh, you are playing the victims." Who is a victim here? I mean, in the end, women just be equal to men. We want to be paid the same. We want to be respected the same way. We want to be treated equal. That's all. And yet it seems that an impossible quest to accomplish. I don't think there is such a thing as victimhood feminism. I think there is a problem with education, there is a problem with women's equality in the West and anywhere in the world as well. If you don't notice that, I think you live in a privilege bubble.
I have a question for all of you. In a New York Times editorial last week, Daphne Merkin says she's noticed a big difference between what women are saying publicly and what they're saying privately. She says she's heard some women who've taken part in the Me Too movement say in smaller conversations with friends things like, whatever happened to flirting? Grow up. This is real life. You know, echoes of this letter from you and Elizabeth and other 99 women in France signed. What do you make of that? Is it possible to be part of Me Too and also support the spirit of the letter? Rimsara?
You are for women's being free and women having the same rights as men, or you're not. There is no medium here. Like, you have to choose a camp. Again, nobody is saying that flirtation or seduction must end. If you cannot make a difference and draw a line, then there is a serious problem. And I believe in education, and I think we seriously need in this country to start educating boys and girls since primary school and maybe even before.
But it sounds like on that topic you are both on a similar page. I will say, having traveled the whole world as a correspondent for our Across Women's Lives project, you do notice that there is a common, anywhere you go, really, there's mm-hmm. a common phenomena of women saying, boys will be boys. This is how
yes,
it goes.
Yeah.
It cannot be changed. And you both seem to be, if I may find a common ground for you two, you both seem to be in agreement that there needs to be some sort of education of young boys saying, no, you may not follow me as I go to the subway, commenting on how much you would like to be with someone with curly hair.
God, yes, I totally agree. Yeah, no, absolutely, I agree. You know, it would be a good thing to educate. There's a French expression, you know, garez vos poules, je sors mon coq, and I'm sure that Sarah will know it. And it's an old, you know, saying of women, it's a countryside saying, and it says, you know, my rooster is coming out, you know, so your hens had better beware. And you know, every now and then you feel, well, boys should be educated out of that. This was old in the 19th century, and boys should be educated out of that. So, I totally agree on this one.
Journalist Anne-Elisabeth Moutet in Paris, and from Toulouse, writer and researcher Rimsara Alaouane. Thanks very much to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Merci.
So a really spirited defense and a takedown of the letter there, Jazz.
Yes, I mean, I think that every movement has a counter movement. So it's a very interesting cultural rift. And I think it's important to note it's not just France versus the U.S. that this is a rift that's happening among women here in the U.S. as well.
Jasmine Garz in New York. She's the world's women's lives correspondent. Jasmine, thanks so much for this.
This was a great conversation. I hope we can keep it going.
Here's one way to continue that discussion. Go to our Across Women's Lives Facebook page to read what other people are saying about Me Too and the letter published in France in response. But more importantly, add your comments to this ongoing conversation. Again, just go to Facebook and search for Across Women's Lives.